How's it going, After Buzzers? Welcome to this edition of Spotlight On. Today, I have a very special guest who's you might know from the Sniper franchise series. His name is Chad Michael Collins, and we have a lot to talk about. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Nice. Start with that guitar, you know, set the vibe right. Oh, and we got the lights going. We're having our own mini concert in here.
Where's
you know?
Smoke?
Right? Oh, that's the only thing we need left. Yes. What's up, viewers? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and I'm joined by a very cool guest, Matt, military action star, you could say. His name is Chad Michael Collins. Welcome, Chad.
Thank you, Carrie. Nice to be here.
And why don't you let the viewers know where they can find you online?
My website, chadmichaelcollins.com. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, Collins Chad M.
Nice. It's always fun trying to figure out how to organize your names on social media platforms.
It can be a puzzle.
It can.
A riddle to solve at times.
But at least you got the same one for both Twitter and Instagram. That can be the other tricky
one. Huge, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, you're originally from New York, right?
And I am.
Come to L.A. with a journalism degree. It's rather unique. Yeah. You know, everybody takes a different path to Los Angeles.
Totally.
But I found that really interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
I've not met anyone who's kind of had even a similar path that I've had. Like you said, I was a journalism major, upstate New York, Ithaca College. Came out here, did an internship with a boutique PR firm, turned into a gig being an assistant there right away. And he was entertainment publicity, so,
nice.
You know, we worked with celebrities, we Scott Bakula, and like all sorts of wonderful TV and film actors. So I was exposed early on in that career to, we were on the Paramount lot, and we were in green rooms for talk shows, and just all over the place. So I had the full experience kind of behind the scenes, and you meet people in the industry, and enough people put it in my ear that, hey, you ever take an acting class?
Mm.
And eventually, I was brave enough and tried one, and here we are.
You could have done all your walk-ins and everything while you already were had access.
Right. Yeah.
Those good old days, right?
The good old days.
Now, do you feel having that perspective from the other side made you appreciate the acting world or at least understand it better because then you know what goes on behind the process?
Absolutely. I agree. It's the stuff I learned about the business and how the business works. And again, it's from the PR end, from the management end, from the agent end. You know, you're working with studios and networks, and you're really seeing how they glue and gel and come together. So working backwards from that was always been such a nice thing to have in my back pocket.
Do you feel also maybe that with journalism as a degree, as an actor, you could apply that in terms of trying to really get to the root of the character, the root of the project?
I think so. I one of the things I love most about acting is just kind of getting that script and mining for the clues and just kind of really breaking it down. And, you know, I never actually had a journalism career, but I took the classes and you kind of learn how to pull things that are important and just look for things and dig and research and stuff. So, yeah, it's been a nice thing to be able to add to it.
Have you got to play a journalist in a show or a movie yet?
I've never got to play a journalist.
See, there you go. We need that next.
You believe it.
Be like, no, really, I have like a degree for this thing.
It would justify the fancy, expensive education if I could just do that one day.
Just rounds out like your worldview, though.
Yes.
So
yes, it does.
Benefits that way. And now you've done actually a lot of film and television. Which medium do you like better, or are they just different in their own ways?
Totally different in their own ways, and I love them both equally. You know, any chance to get out and play pretend is such a gift. But film is nice because you have this unique window where you literally do gel and become a family, and it's more longer term. Extinct, the show I'm here to talk about today for BYU TV, that was nice because it was a long form, 10 episodes, and if you can make a film family in 35 days, imagine what you can do over 6 months. So it's really nice, but TV moves fast, and it moves much, much, much faster. It's a writer's medium. Film tends to be the director's eye and that sort of thing. So, yeah, two very different things, but equally fun to play in.
So then the way you said that, do you find that the director and writer approach it differently to you as the actor on television versus a film?
I don't know. You know, each director or writer is just has their own style, you know, and some people are former actors, so they have a real ease of communication with that sort of stuff. Some are more technically oriented, whether it's coming from a lighting background or something else like that. Or so, again, some of them are just screenwriters in general. So it's kind of everyone has their own personal flair I suppose, and you do your best to kind of play nice together.
Mm-hmm. What's been one of your favorite television shows to work on and why? Extinct aside, because we'll be getting to that one, but before, because you've had some fun ones like CSI Miami, Two Broke Girls, Once Upon a Time, Freakish.
Yeah, I've been lucky, and even though I haven't played a journalist, I've got to play a lot of fun, different roles. And I was actually on AfterBuzz for their Once Upon a Time after show.
Nice.
Back in the season two of that, I played Gerhard Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster, for an episode, and came in and talked with some lovely hosts here. That was one of my all-time favorites, just because 3 hours of effects and makeup and airbrushing to make me the dead guy, stitches going all up around my face and everything, and an hour and a half off every single night filming in Vancouver. That one really stands out, and that one was just really fun, special black and white episode that they did. So I love that one. CSI Miami was super cool. I got to play cage fighter and got the crap kicked out of me by an actual former UFC fighter for two straight days. So that was fun in its own weird way once I healed up. But I've just done so many fun things. The sniper franchise, running around the world, taking out the bad guys. Like I just love that G.I. Joe stuff.
Now with that, with the sniper franchise, you've also worked with your father on that too, correct?
Tom Berenger. My papa? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom Berenger was the original sniper star. And him and Billy Zane were in the original sniper in 93, I believe. And he did two more, Tom, and then they kind of shelved the franchise. They brought me in to play his son after they were going to maybe do an origin story, but that kind of fell through. So let's just reinvent it, reboot it completely. And I was fortunate to get that call. And Tom and Billy have both come back and played throughout the I've done four films for them. And we've got them. The last one we just shot, which is coming out this fall, Billy and Tom will be back together with me for the first time since the original.
What was it like working with your dad? Because, you know, like, sometimes people get to work with their family. Sometimes they get to work with their friends. Mm-hmm. Not often. So what was it like? And then you're also playing father and son in the films.
Well, Berenger's not my real dad, although he'd be a pretty cool dad to have. Yeah, but he's my film dad. We're close. We have fun.
By now, then, are you like father and son?
Yeah, no, not exactly. Yeah, he hasn't had me out to Hilton Head or anything anytime soon. But we love hanging out, and we love working together, and we've done two films together now, and we had a blast. The last one was down in Bogota, Colombia, so we were having a real good time down there.
Apparently, I was reading too much of the fiction of the IMDb. I'm like, that's really cool and interesting. But that's neat, though, to keep that storyline through multiple films and, like, creating that identity of the character and how to bring in your character. Mm-hmm. What's it been like to play in a military-type franchise as well? Because you obviously, you could look like you could be a military dude. So
Well, the camera adds 10 pounds, hopefully, of muscle or something. But that's if they're kind. I love it, and I tell anybody, in terms of how I got started and even just taking my first class, it was just the right time. When people kept whispering in my ear, like, take a class. You've got an all-American look. You know, I know your personality. Would you try one? And because I grew up in a small town. I played sports, you know, year-round, and I never had been on a stage and even considered this. But when that birdie kept whispering in my ear, I was so into Band of Brothers. And Braveheart is, like, my favorite movie of all time and my favorite childhood toys were G.I. Joe's, so it's kind of like watching Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, and I'm like, you know, I would take a class, even if it just meant I could be that guy with no lines crawling through the mud in World War II, and here we are, so
nice.
Kind of my favorite thing.
Have you done any separate training besides what they have you do for the film?
Yeah, you know, the films are, they don't have a huge budget, so we don't get to go and have a boot camp like you would on something that's from a major studio in that way at a big budget. But I had to always take it upon myself to go ahead and do it. There's always a technical advisor, and we've had some great ones, former military, that are there with us, boots on the ground, literally, throughout our entire shoot. But, I go, and there's an awesome three-gun shooter. I don't know if you've seen the viral video of Keanu Reeves doing his crazy thing with the three different guns. That's Taron Butler. He's, like, a world-renowned three-gun marksman. I've worked with him a little bit.
Nice.
And, you know, just keeping it sharp, keeping it tight, and when you're on set, totally taking advantage of the expertise that these guys have.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you do anything then outside of, I mean, you kind of mentioned training, but do you do any other physical activity to make sure you stay in your tip-top shape? Because, I mean, you're getting these roles that are very physically demanding. So how do you keep up with that?
Which I love. And I love the action stuff. And it's so much fun. And I find it better to, it's like a lot of fighters, they never let themselves get out of shape. Because that way it's not so hard to get back into shape. So I kind of adopt that philosophy. And I just stay active. I've always been a weekend warrior. You know, I'm in basketball leagues, and I like to mess around with boxing a little bit, and, you know, of course, the gym and everything else, doing a lot of hikes and trail running and stuff like that. So, yeah, I keep it interesting.
Nice. Do you find that you've been able to take what you've learned in training from, like, one film or show and been able to add it to another one and be like, oh, I did this already. I got this.
Yeah. No, it does get – the more you do it, especially, like, the stunt work and the fight choreography, the easier it gets and the more fun it is.
Yeah.
I find myself now even kind of collaborating with the stunt coordinators now. It used to be I'd show up and they'd be like, here's what we do. Here's that thing. So we get that shot and that piece. And now I'm kind of like, well, what if we did this? What if we brought in that pool stick? You know, like that sort of stuff becomes more of a collaboration when you have the experience in it all.
So you've become more comfortable because then you know your limits more so, too.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we're going to need you to kick that guy in the face. And I'm like, I can't. Sorry. Could we figure out something out? Spinning back fist.
Are there more stunts that you're like, oh, I want to do more? Yes. Raise your hand of like, yes, please.
You know, it's a dubious thing to do a lot of stunts.
True.
Because on a long enough timeline, there's no way you're not going to accidentally take one in the face and bumps and bruises and cuts and all the fun stuff that comes with it. So as much as I like love to do it, and I'm kind of a pain in the butt about not letting my stunt double do a lot of it, there are some times when I'm like, I don't need to be the total hero and throw myself down this mountain. Go ahead, put my jacket on him.
Well, your body's your tool, so you can't really let anything happen to it. It's like, that's what you're marketing.
It's not a good idea.
Can't really break anything, bruise it. Unless, like, you could be like, can we work this into the script?
And right.
Like, you know, I did this thing.
Stunt guys are just the best. You know, every group and every stunt performer I've ever worked with has been so amazing, and they've helped make the project so great. These guys are just insanely tough. And, you know, one of them had a saying that was basically like, you're going to get hurt. What you don't want is to get injured. And I was like, that's just a real tough guy motto right there.
It's a good philosophy of it.
If
you're fighting or, you know, moving around, falling.
Yeah. But it's like signing up for a profession where it's like, I know I'm going to get hurt today.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Let's throw me through another glass plate window.
How has been the weapon training for you? Because you've done different, you know, fighter roles of different times. So you've had different weapons training, obviously, for the films and shows.
Yeah. No, I do get to play with your handguns, your shotguns, your, you know, sometimes your rifle. Obviously, the sniper rifles are just beasts, and they're just like, you know, 35 pounds, which is super fun to run through the woods with over and over and over. But
there's your training right there. You're like, I got my exercise today.
I got to do a movie that I'm sure we'll talk about eventually called Howlers, which was with Sean Patrick Flannery, that we shot down in Texas, and I play an old west cowboy brought to the future, and I'm a werewolf slayer.
Nice.
So the amount of hand-to-hand combat action we did for that was literally insane. I can't wait for people to see it, probably coming out this fall or winter. I had double axes that I was attacking werewolves with. I had a crossbow, and of course my pearl-handled revolver, and, you know, hat duster, the whole thing. And it was really, really, really fun. I'm trying to think if there's any other fun weapons I got to play with on that one, but yeah, I think that rounds it out.
How was it to play in a Western?
It was fun. It was a modern day thing, but we did a lot of flashback stuff to, like, the Western gear
and
the garb.
Supernatural, because you said
for
werewolves.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, it's like a John Carpenter throwback. It's like kind of like his fun stuff from the 80s. This guy, Josh Ridgway, wrote and directed it and just did an awesome job, and we had a blast doing it. And yeah, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's got beautiful comedic moments and tons of just action and brutality and quite a bit of bloodshed on top of it. So,
did you get any fun injuries of that? Because you did say a lot of hand-to-hand combat.
I mean, nothing brutal. You know, nothing where I couldn't show up to work the next day. So, yeah, I'll say no.
Doing those Epsom salt baths every day, you're like, okay, wait, I need to relax.
Yeah, throw me in the cryo chamber.
Yeah. Now, you do have another show that we're big one we want to talk about called Extinct coming up. So tell me all about that. What is it? Who do you play?
Extinct is a new series I'm starring in for BYU TV, and it's going to premiere October 1st. And it's created by Orson Scott Card, who's really well known for his Ender's Game series, and his more recent writing partner, Aaron Johnston, who is kind of the sole creator or co-creator of this show with him, also New York Times bestselling author in that arena. They created a brand new sci-fi universe from scratch, as geniuses do. And it's basically, it takes place 400 years after the human race has been wiped out, extinct, made extinct by an alien race. And there are handfuls of us that are reborn. We're kind of reconstituted in this strange plan, strange new Earth 400 years later, not knowing why we're here, where we are, why are our memories intact, who are you, who am I, that sort of thing. And we find that we're reconstituted by a benevolent alien race, but things are not always as they seem. And are we actually pawns in some kind of larger game here? Why us? All more questions than get asked and answered, just in classic sci-fi style. But really, really, really fun. And shot it all up in Utah for 6 months. And yeah, debuting this fall, October 1st, like I said, and very excited for it to come out.
And then your character is, tell me about your character.
Yes. My character is Ezra, who is the consummate family man, former soldier. Was big into the resistance when the aliens first came, obviously didn't make it, as none of us did, and he's kind of the de facto leader of this reborn kind of group of humans, just because he has the training and he has the experience and very much wanting to explore the possibilities of getting his family back and stuff like this. So he's kind of like this, you know, he's kind of all business and, you know, he's not the funniest guy with a sense of humor, but he's the guy that when things go down, you're probably glad that he's on your side.
Is this much of a stretch for you to act? Because I was going to say, you seem so pleasant and, like, you know, more lively than this character might be a little more serious and down to business.
I love acting boring. No, Ezra's not at all boring, and he certainly has his moments, but he's kind of the dude with the eye always on the prize kind of stuff. So it's fun.
I was just going to ask, is it fun to change it up and be that more stoic,
down-to-business
guy?
I tend to play more of those roles, probably just because I have a mind that never stops. And I think that's just for what a camera catches. It's kind of easy to see the gears turning in that way. You know, snipers are an amazing... I don't know how they do it. It's not just a physically demanding thing that these snipers do across all the armed forces, but... the mental thing to be alone by yourself or with a spotter and not talk for 7 days and stay in the same spot, and not to mention hiking the 50 miles in and out of wherever you're roughing it to. I mean, these guys are incredible, and clearly I'm glad that I'm doing a make-believe film version of it, because I don't know if I have what it takes to hack it like these guys do. But there's always something that's been gravitated towards, like the thinking man's soldier.
Sure.
And I think Ezra is a natural extension of that.
Nice. And now Extinct, we have we can look at the trailer, and if you want to talk a little bit over it too, because if people want to watch it, it's online, so they can watch it again.
Yeah, extinct.tv. Yeah, you can find more info on the show.
So here, let's take a look, and you can tell me what's going on.
Ooh. That is water.
Confusing, isn't it?
There you are.
The wake in a world you do not know.
Yeah.
There is you, and there is us.
Yeah, so that was me being reborn. That's us flashback when the aliens came after us.
I'm not going to let anything happen to this family.
There you go, family man, like you said.
Yeah.
You want the truth? Set me free, and I will set you free.
Billions of people in the history of the world, and they bring back me.
Ooh.
So many questions.
Right? What was that costume like to wear? That costume looks, you're all in black, and looks like you're in kind of desert areas.
Yeah,
so.
we were, there's a story for that one.
All right.
Yeah, we were in black, very heavy layers, everything black, of course, and we were shooting down in a place called St. George, Utah, at the very bottom of the state, which is where they have these beautiful rock formations, red as you saw it, like alien-looking. It's where they apparently did the original Star Trek, shot a lot of exteriors up there, John Carter from Mars. And so we were there, and it was the end of July, early August, I believe, and it was 115 degrees. Yeah, so, you know, we sweated it out.
We had your own little saunas with your outfits.
Yes, we did. It was quite nice.
Did they have lots of shade or water breaks? Because I was going to say, that's almost working hazard oh boy.
The crew we got to work with up in Utah for this show is just unbelievably accommodating and just lovely, lovely, thoughtful people. So we were very well looked after, despite all the fun conditions we shot in.
Yeah. Well, it's like a fun challenge, and then you're like your character having to deal with the elements. So.
Yeah, I mean, And I've shot on Bulgarian mountaintops, soaking wet in the middle of winter, 3 feet of snow. I've worked in some crazy conditions, and sometimes you're kind of glad that they're there because it really helps lend to where you need to go as a character or whatever. So I find it best just not to fight it and kind of go with it because you can't change anything. You're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. If you're hot, you're going to be hot. There's nothing really you can do except try to find a way to, I guess, own it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's an excellent way to look at it because definitely it's one of those you can have it add to your character or you're just going to be distracted by
it. Right, yeah, or it could really affect your performance, which nobody wants.
Well, at least you haven't had to do, like, Bikini in the Cold or something like that,
I have not.
You're like, darn, Speedos? No.
We had a lovely co-star who had to jump into a lake that was about 6,000, 7,000 feet up on a mountain. Oof. In October or November.
Sounds like it'd be
fun. So that was, you know, fun. But then the crew had to be in the water, too, to film it. So
did you have to do any water sequences?
Yeah, well, in the trailer, you saw a little bit about of us. In the beginning of the episode in the trailer of us actually being reconstituted by these wonderful little creatures we call sparks that kind of take organic matter and water and materials in the air and carbon and just kind of weave us all together intricately, so... Yeah, we did. We played a little bit in the water, which was nice on those 110, 115 degree days.
So was the water areas shot near where the desert kind of spots
are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
Southern Utah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was all filmed there then?
The whole series was filmed
there. Oh, very
cool. Yeah, yeah.
So you can kind of had that little...
Mm-hmm.
Did it kind of feel like you were home there after a while? Like you got used to it?
It really did. And we were staying in Provo, Utah, which is just a beautiful place, just ringed by mountains. It's just gorgeous. You wake up in the morning and like there's just snow-capped mountains like right down the road here. Hiked up through them and very, very beautiful. We were all over Utah. We went to down close to Zion National Park, you know, Kanab. There's a lot of places that had a rich history of shooting, like old westerns and John Ford movies and stuff, and a lot of these places in southern Utah. We traveled, I wouldn't say the entire four corners, but we got around. We got around Utah, and we did some soundstage work as well, and that was a nice respite when the temperature was dropping, you know, into the single digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time of year did you start, and about what time of year did you finish that?
Yeah, we shot the very first episode, wrapped up in, like, August of last summer, and then... we did another episode in the fall, and we took a little hiatus because I had to run off and play with Tom Berenger and Billy down in Bogota for a sniper movie. So we came back and finished out that fall, and we just wrapped up at the end of February.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. So you got to kind of deal with all the elements there.
And you'll see the snow, and you'll see the desert, and it's really, I mean, we really took full advantage of Utah's beautiful landscape, and it's going to make it look so much better.
And then how well did you get along with your fellow castmates? Did you guys go hang out and go into town, like, on your days off?
We did.
Nice.
I mean, we all got along famously. It's just such a lovely cast and incredibly talented. We had a blast, and we had so much fun doing this the entire time, as cliche as that sounds. I know it's not the case on every single show, but with us, it really was kind of a love fest. And we did. We went up to Sundance. We went up to Park City, you know. But a lot of times we were on the road anyway, going to different locations, here for a week, there for a week, whatever. So we were exploring, and we were ducking into Zion National Park, you know, on a weekend here and there. So we did. We had a lot of fun.
Did you get to talk about the show at all at Sundance?
No, we were just there to take it in because I'd never been before, and it was
fun.
But
meeting people could be like, I'm doing this show in Utah.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt to have that calling card, right?
Because that's a fun one of, like, to add to your repertoire of, like, sci-fi is a whole other kind of genre. What's it been like to act on a sci-fi show?
I love it. And honestly, when I first started out, my entire goal, my whole thing was to be in a sci-fi series. I just, you know, I grew up loving it. Like, Battlestar Galactica is one of my all-time favorite shows. X-Files, Star Trek, The Next Gen. Like, I grew up with these shows, and I love it. And on the PR end, when I was in the office... Scott Bakula being one of our great clients, and we had a guy named Michael Shanks who starred on the series Stargate for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, Scott, I grew up with Quantum Leap, and he was doing the, you know, Enterprise, which was the last kind of incarnation until the new one's coming out of the Star Trek series.
What do you think of the new one's trailer?
I have not seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen the trailer yet?
I can't speak about it, but I'm sure it's awesome.
It's a good trailer.
Yeah. And I'm a fan of who they've cast. I've always loved their work. The actress from The Walking Dead, and of course Jason Isaacs, I believe, right? Is the
and,
captain.
And then I'm blank. I'm not going to say the name because I'm like, I forget. But I like the other cast too, who they've put in it. Then I always want to act in sci-fi, but you are playing a human, sort of. Like, so now would you want to do one where you're like an alien or something non-human?
Man, I'll take what I can get in terms of that sci-fi sort of stuff.
Good.
But Extinct is cool because we did, I don't know if you were a fan of Lost. I was a huge fan of Lost, watched every episode. But one of the beautiful parts of Lost is how they weave the flashbacks. There's so many stories and you learn about these characters. And Extinct does this so well too. So we were literally playing two or three different versions of ourselves at different points in different time in our character's history. You know, the old version before we were annihilated, then the reborn version. So it was really kind of fun to be an actor with a role that was actually several different roles. It was kind of fun. It was almost kind of like when actors play against themselves in that super crazy talented way.
Was that difficult to switch into those different modes, or was the wardrobe so different that that kind of helped and the setting was different enough that you could switch?
Between? No, I could, because, you know, you've got a core essence about you, you know, which is a different time, different place. The wardrobes are incredible, as you could see on that stuff. Mm-hmm. The wardrobes they put together was just kind of like Game of Thrones-y, Mad Max-y, scavenger, you know, caveman. I don't know what you would call it, but just like pieces of leather scraps all bound together to make something really kind of cool and unique. And but they did a great job with set pieces that kind of just put you in there. And, you know, they built out spaceships and they built out the inside of all sorts of crazy things and cave dwellings we were in. So it was pretty easy to get into it on this show.
If you could have taken one piece of prop or wardrobe from set, what would you have taken and why? Or did you take
No, come on.
You're like, I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, shh. I would probably, it wouldn't be a piece of wardrobe, actually. It would be the longbow, 5-foot longbow that I carry around. It's kind of Ezra's weapon of choice as the series goes on. I would only take it because I need the practice, and not actually with the aim. I was okay with the aim when they actually let me shoot the darn thing, but I don't know if you've ever tried to crank back a string on a 5-foot longbow, but I gotta be honest, there's a reason why even the English archers, they started them at 11 years old to build the strength so that by the time they're 18, they could actually get that thing pulled back.
Wow.
So, yeah, I christened it the Backbreaker.
Ah.
So I would take that just so I could get stronger.
It's a different kind of workout, but would you switch hands then? Because, you know, you gotta keep it even.
Right? I just have one massive side and one little side.
Actually, that's a good question. What side did you fire with?
Right. I'm a righty.
Righty? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because you could be righty, but you could be a left or right eye dominant.
True.
Which eye are you?
I throw frisbee left-handed.
Oh, okay.
I shoot bows and arrows right-handed.
Apparently. Very cool. Because I discovered that of, like, technically I'm right-handed, but I'm left eye dominant.
Ah, gotcha.
So I was supposed to do it the other way.
I think I am too. I actually have 20/15 in the left eye, which is inconvenient because the scope is on the right eye.
Well, you do that exercise where you, have you done that, where you, okay, so you take a focal point and put your hand in like a triangle and bring your hand back to your eye, and what eye it goes to is your dominant eye.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to
do
that.
It's a fun way to exercise.
We won't bore the audience.
Yeah.
I'll do this
but
later.
It's, you know, it's interesting of these characters that you have to be in and have the realism of it, and so finding that comfortability with your props, weapons, clothing, and everything, and make it feel like it's yours.
Totally.
Did you have a lot of practice with the bow and arrow at all beforehand? Like, had you ever been to a shooting range like that?
I mean, I've dabbled with just kind of some archery back in the day, you know? Not really, though. I kind of showed up on set one day and got a script, and it's like, Ezra gets a bow and arrow that he finds, you know? And I'm like, sweet! It's
cool.
And
then you're like, this is much bigger than I expected.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of the other characters, you know, because it is kind of post-apocalyptic in this way, so you're kind of, the humans and any survivors that are there are just trying to make do with what they've got.
Right.
Forge from it. So it's really kind of going back to almost like a medieval time and the way that we had to make weapons and stuff like this, or stuff that survived 400 years of rust and corrosion. So the other characters, you know, along the way that we meet along the way, they do have some bow and arrows too, and they have recurve bows, which are actually much, much easier to crank on than an actual longbow, which is what I learned the hard way. So
why didn't your character just steal those?
I don't know.
You know?
I mean, he's the leader. He's got to have the biggest bow, right?
Oh, sure.
You know?
Now, I don't know how much you could get into it because it might spoil anything, but the trailer says it's us and them. Is there a distinction then between the humans that have come back?
Them.
Or is that aliens?
I mean, there are antagonists. They are, and I don't know how much I can say, but let's just say there is another group out there who does not take kindly to us new reborns, and we find out the hard way who they are and what they are, and are just trying to not only survive kind of the harsh landscape that we've kind of been reborn into and figure all this stuff out. We're also kind of on the run and trying to survive against these people hunting us down.
Fun.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Very exciting, right?
Now, do they let you know right away about how many, or does the show get into how many people have been reborn? Like, is there a...
Well, in the pilot you saw kind of our main three, our first three Reborns.
Yeah. Which how ambitious is this benevolent alien species of, like, they are they rebuilding, like, five of you, 20, 30, 40, 100?
Yeah, I mean it's, I think they're smart and keeping it small at
Got
first
it. Okay.
And seeing how people play and how we do.
That's
kind
good
of
way to
on
look
our
at it,
own.
Yeah.
So, but it, you know, it gets more mysterious and we find out all sorts of shocking information about perhaps previous attempts, perhaps other people that are out there existing that we don't know about, that is not being divulged. We don't know. Like,
sure.
There is a lot of stuff that leaves us in more frustrated places than answers our questions.
And then again, as much as you can say, does the show get into then why you specifically, like each one of you, was the one chosen to come back?
I think you get more insight as the series goes on.
Okay.
But in terms of where we start, we have no idea.
Cool. At the beginning, yes, we shouldn't have any of the questions immediately answered. But, you know, like some shows, they...
Mm-hmm. Work backwards.
They'll let you know by the end, or, like, they won't tell you in this season or something like that. How much of it have you seen at this point, too, you personally, of the show?
I've seen bits and pieces of a lot of the episodes going in to help with some you know, voice looping and fixing some dialogue and stuff like that. And I literally just came here, actually, from doing about an hour and a half that for the finale and some of the early episodes as well. And I'm blown away. And it was fun because we kind of finished our work early. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just let me, like, stay and, like, watch a bunch of the scenes and how they turned out. So, but it's I'm really happy with it. I mean, it's... It's a TV show, and anybody who's been on a TV show and a long-form one like this knows it's hard. You're shooting 8, you know, sometimes 9 pages a day of a script, and you only have 8 days to turn around. And BYU TV, their format is it's about 52 minutes, I believe, per episode. So
took almost a full
hour. Yeah, we've got to fill. Those days are full. Because, you know, you're talking 42, 44 for your regular cable network. So that's only, you know, 44 pages they have to shoot technically. We have to fill an extra 8 minutes, but within the same kind of 7-8 day time frame to shoot an episode. So we're busy, and everyone fought to make this the best show that they possibly could, from the crew to the cast to the producers, the writers. And I'm so happy, and it's from what I've seen, it's shown.
It's a version that's always wonderful to hear, and then especially as the actors, when you get there and you get to see it, and you're like, yes, this is like... Because, you know, when you're doing it, you're not seeing the special effects on it, you're not seeing the... post. With the ADR work you had to do, was there a finished product, or were they still working on
still tweaking? I think some of the earlier episodes
are October,
they've got some time. But no, it's all right. I mean, look, I don't know if you go back and watch your broadcast or whatever, but sometimes seeing myself on the playback is kind of appalling, and I don't necessarily look forward to it. Even when I've got to go in and, like, try to make an acting reel of, like, old footage, I'm like, oh, God, someone do this for me.
So you don't like watching yourself?
I don't, but you know what? I have not cringed at all. Like, in all the footage I've seen from this show, it's kind of like, oh, show me more kind of thing. And even when I'm in it, ruining it, I still want to watch more. So it's
very
good.
Cool.
It's a good sign.
Nice. And then your hair looked a little darker. Did you have it dyed, or is your hair just lighter now?
Darker in the show.
Yeah, it looked a little like almost.
Well, I was climbing out of the water and some of that
stuff.
Okay. So maybe that's why. But, you know, I'm back. I mean, look, Utah, I got pale because it's cold and it's freezing and I didn't see any sun for very many months. But I grew up in upstate New York, so it wasn't a big deal.
Okay.
I kind of used to that sort of stuff. But no, I've made it my business since returning back to L.A. to get in the sunshine every day. It's kind of why I'm here.
Back in the warmth,
right.
Well, it is interesting, the process, you know, for you as an actor to go through of, like, the different looks, just the mild changes they can do to you, of, like, your hair color, shave your beard, or, you know,
we went this way for Reborn Ezra, and then when we did Flashback Ezra, we went this way to get real crazy and mix it up. So,
well, it's so small, but it still makes a difference.
Yeah, exactly. It gives it a different time and place feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then for Extinct, I'm assuming your makeup time was a lot less than what you had to do for Once Upon a Time.
I mean, maybe 10, 12 minutes in and out.
You're like, yes.
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Yeah. Not like those poor girls who have the early call times, the extra hour and a half early.
Do they have a lot of, like, work that had to be done, or more just, like, girls, there's more hair and more makeup?
More hair,
to deal
more
with.
Makeup,
yeah.
more attention needed, but they're beautiful women. They could probably just roll out of bed and come play.
Yeah.
But, you know, why not pamper them for a little bit to start the day?
Any fun, happy accidents that happened on set? Like something, you know, didn't go as planned, but it worked out for the best.
Oh, boy, happy accidents. I don't know. Nothing that really comes to mind. We were all pretty specific with the writing and the vision and the whatever else. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, happy accidents happen all the time when you're doing stunt stuff or, sure, you know, chase scenes and stuff, yeah, like that. But nothing too crazy, I don't think.
All right. Was there any moment, you said you're pretty strict to the script. Was there any room for improv, or was it pretty, you know, follow the lines?
Yeah, because, you know, TV is specific, and Aaron, sure, is a genius writer and creator, so you always want to honor his words and his vision, because mm-hmm, every word is intentional and on, yeah, purpose. But he was also incredibly flexible and open.
Oh, cool.
Where we could have a conversation, mm-hmm, and as we breathe more life into these characters, we could bend his ear and be like, how do you feel about this? Or could I give you a different version? Like, we did a take with this. I feel like this is something that the character would do or say or whatever else. And he was totally cool and totally open to it. So there was, it really felt like a collaborative experience, not like a bunch of hired guns. It was nice.
Yeah, it must have felt really rewarding to be able to talk to the writer and, like,
yeah,
fill in those gaps.
And he was
that maybe
on set. Yeah.
It's not like, mm-hmm, you know.
He was on set a lot of the times, and it was great. You knew you did a good take when you looked over and there's Aaron Johnston behind the monitor, and he just goes,
"Oh, nice."
And I was like, "Ah, that's a keeper. Moment. They're going to use that one." Okay. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
Like, don't reveal your hand, Mr. Writer.
Yeah. Was anybody a prankster on set or any kind of joking around, or?
Oh, man, we probably
down
had
to business because you didn't have time.
We probably had too much fun, and me included. I mean,
okay,
there's just cackles of laughter and everybody just clowning. Everybody was still prepared, and we were ready,
sure,
to go.
Of course.
Once action. But if anybody was a stick in the mud, it was probably me doing the most cat herding amongst my lovely cast mates, because we would get care. We genuinely had so much fun and loved, mm-hmm, each other so much that we were just joking and being clowns any chance we could get.
Mm.
But when we're ready to shoot, it's just kind of like, okay, guys, you know, I just try to do my best to bring it all down, just so the crew wasn't like, yeah, we're ready to throw you guys to the wolves right now.
They're all like,
yeah,
oh, look at their watch, like,
yeah,
are you done yet?
Right.
Well, then it sounds like you were kind of like your character of, like, leading the group.
A little
like,
bit.
All right, kids, let's go.
Yeah, could be true to form.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to watch and see.
Okay. Well, you said he's kind of a leader, so.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And it's cool. And I was... On this show, I'm very blessed and very fortunate to be that number one dude on the call sheet, and,
mm-hmm,
and the Ezra character is really so central to the show itself. And I relish that opportunity.
Mm.
You know, it's the same with the sniper movies that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love being on set. I have learned and met actors. You learn what to do, you learn what not to do, and how you want to be, and you choose accordingly. And I take the responsibility very seriously. It's important that we all have fun. It's important that we make the best thing that we can. But it's also important to make sure everybody's cool and taken care, mm-hmm, of, and we're just there to create something wonderful and have as much fun as possible while we're doing it.
Hmm. What are a couple things that people take for granted that they should do and shouldn't do?
Actors or
on set.
On,
yeah,
set in general.
Actor, on set, whatever comes to mind first.
Yeah, well, I mean, from an actor's perspective, it's, I mean, know your lines. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, right?
You'd hope.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think that there's so many different departments, and they're also,
mm-hmm,
incredibly busy, but also talented and,
mm-hmm,
creating amazing, wonderful things. Whether it's you've got your hair and makeup artists, you've,
mm-hmm,
got people doing effects and prosthetics, and you've got your sound guys, and of,
yeah,
course all your camera guys and your lighting guys, and everyone in between.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it is, you know, just common courtesy and common sense seem to just win out.
Mm.
You know, it's. You gotta go somewhere, tell someone where you're going because you're there working and they can't shoot things without,
yeah,
you, which could really slow up your day. It's just stuff like that. I find that, you know, you don't have to do too much or go out of your way too much, but if you just,
sure,
have a common sense of courtesy and it goes a long way, and people really appreciate it on both sides of the camera.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, these are definitely things, like, you know, take it for granted. Like, these are things,
yeah,
you should do.
Right. No.
Doesn't mean everybody does.
Yeah, I've seen both sides,
yeah,
for sure.
Any memories that stand out to you for filming Extinct that were funny, interesting, special?
I mean, tons. And I know that when we were down by Zion shooting on location, Zion National Park, it was just incredible in and of itself. I grew up in upstate New York, and,
mm-hmm,
this, and the state bird is the bald eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, very, very extinct. Sorry, couldn't help myself.
Hey, your puns are totally allowed, man.
But we saw so many of these bald eagles just like whipping around all over the place. And that to me was like mind blowing. I had never seen one growing up in upstate New York, but it's all over the coinage and the flag and everything else. And I'm like, okay, I have seen a bald eagle. That's kind of cool. Nice to know. But that there wasn't just one. There were tons, and they were just like low flying, like almost kind of like a regular sparrow would be, like in front of your car, in these beautiful locations. But man, I don't know. I mean, Park City is a blast to go up and visit. I didn't even ski. I don't ski. Hmm. I will ski.
Snowboard?
Eventually. I don't do that either.
Oh, okay.
I grew up with a beat up old snowmobile, so. You guys go have fun on your skis. Me and my brother are gonna tow each other up the top of this hill and sled down over and over again.
Nice.
But that's we just had fun, and being on location was half the fun. Going up into Salt Lake City and exploring that wonderful place was a blast as well. But yeah, it's every day, every weekend was just a trip. Like it literally was, just because we were outdoors, kind of playing all the time. So.
You do seem like kind of an outdoorsy person, so it seems like it'd be a good fit.
I am. Yeah, I'm a country boy from upstate New York, and sometimes you got to yell at me to, you know, keep my shoes and shirt on. Like, it's just kind of what we did growing up, so I just loved it. I love that nature. I'd never been to Utah before. I didn't know things really filmed there all that much, and then all of a sudden you're like, we'll have 6 months of it. And I can't wait to go back. I'm really hoping that we go to a season two and we get to play there all over again.
Nice. Well, hopefully, yeah, for sure. Were your weeks like 6 day weeks then, and get like one day off? So then,
I think that would have been the end of many people if that was the case. That's what we do in the Sniper movies. And by the end, everybody is just kind of on their last leg doing 6 day weeks. But we had five day weeks,
so we
had the weekends off, which was really really nice. And because the cast did grow as we went on, you know, some people got to enjoy even some days off per week, you know, and not have to shoot. And they were really cool about scheduling people to give them their time to rest and relax and stuff like that. So
is that kind
not so much towards the end, but
we got the weekends.
Is that when
you kind of got to explore the local nature and
We got to explore a little bit, you know, just take in some of the awesome restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking Salt Lake or when we're on location, just like these wonderful little mom and pop's place with like food to table.
Yeah.
Stuff and like grass fed buffalo and, you know, whatever else. Maybe it wasn't buffalo. A buffalo extinct.
Bison. There we go. Buffalo extinct. It's bison.
Okay. We'll go.
But they're
way.
Very similar.
Yeah. The bee animal there. Yeah.
They look kind of like, I think one's just bigger.
So
any other projects coming up you can talk about? So obviously Extinct comes out October 1st.
October 1st, BYU TV, which is on most cable and satellite
providers,
that channel. But, you know, BYU TV is awesome because they stream everything for free on their website.
Oh,
very cool. Of course, they have the apps, too, like you would with a Hulu or Netflix, and you can download other stuff for free. So that'll just be easy for anyone to find it. The Sniper movie we talked about, it's still a working title. I don't know what that title will be, but I'm hearing that maybe this September... this one will be out, and me and Billy Zane and Tom Berenger will be all back in the saddle together, and my wonderful co-star Danai Garcia, who is a series regular on Fear the Walking Dead, very talented. Actually, she's my co-lead in this film coming out, so we're both very excited for that. And yeah, Howlers is in the work, and the Werewolf Slayer movie where I get to play Colt, the Old West gunslinger brought to the modern times to finish a job he didn't finish. I'm really excited for that one, and Sean Patrick Flannery kills it in it, and just got a talented cast across the board, and I'm really excited for this one to come out. I wish I had a date right now, but we're working on that.
I think, it just said 2017 release.
Yeah.
IMDb said Wyatt Earp meets Blade indie movie.
That's right. It's Wyatt Earp meets Blade, as if told by a 1983 John Carpenter.
Sounds cool.
How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got sci-fi, western, action, military. Got a lot going on. So congratulations. You have a whole lot coming up. That's very exciting.
It's all kind of coming out together, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking about those things. I'm very excited about them all.
So let people know where they can find you online if they want to reach out and stay up to date on all your projects.
Sure. Well, my social media handle's at CollinsChatM. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram. I've got a Facebook page, of course, and my website, chadmichaelcollins.com.
Awesome.
Congratulations,
and thank you so much for coming in. These are a lot of exciting projects. I'm like, I would definitely watch all
thank
of these
you.
For sure.
Thank you for having me.
And so a huge thank you to our guest, Chad. It's been really fun talking about all the different movies. And yeah, genre shows must be so much fun to do. And
yes,
so,
they are.
And the trailer looked really great for Extinct. So October 1st on BYU TV. So that's, it seems far away, but it's not really. It's going to come up
fast,
real fast.
Right? We're moving real fast. Yeah.
So make sure to follow him online to stay up to date on all those projects, because there's quite a few and they're all pretty darn cool. And you guys can follow me on social media at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up, subscribe, and, you know, we're on iTunes as well. Give 5 stars. And then that way you can stay up to date on awesome interviews like this one. So again, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's okay,
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.